Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that special tonight. What a blessing that was. If you have your Bibles with you tonight, if you look with me to the book of Matthew, Matthew in chapter 7, Wednesday night or Sunday nights, we've been going through and teaching on the teachings of Christ. And beginning with the very first message we heard from him as a 12-year-old boy. And then, of course, we follow in his life through the Gospels here. We know that he's got his apostles that will take over during the apostolic age once he will resurrect from the grave. And he is discipling them, and he is preparing them for to lead in New Testament Christianity. As Jesus Christ ushered in New Testament Christianity, he ushered in the church. He fulfilled the Old Testament law. And so we've been looking at the teachings of Christ. He has them up on the Sermon on the Mount, and we call it the Sermon on the Mount. And he has given so many things. I believe the Sermon on the Mount is a blueprint for New Testament Christianity. It's God's design for Christian thinking. And it's very important that we understand that. Our thinking is very important to the work that God has called us to. And so we've been going through studying this Sermon on the Mount. We studied verse 7 through 11 last week, last Sunday night, and understanding it's God's design for believers to ask. Concerning prayer, it's God's design for us to ask. And then we are to seek. And then we are to knock. And then we are to accept whatever God's will is in answering our prayer. And so that's what we looked at last week. This week, if you look here in chapter 7, one verse presents another principle, a New Testament principle, a New Testament mindset that we all need to have. And it's found in chapter 7 in one verse, verse 12. So go ahead and stand with me. We'll read this one verse tonight. He says, therefore, once we learn how to communicate with God, therefore, all things, whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do you even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Let's pray. Father, we bow before you. Again, we thank you for the precious word of God that we have to look to understand exactly what you taught humanity when you was manifested in the flesh and lived a sinless, perfect life. Thank you for the teachings that we have to look to. I pray tonight that we would receive this truth and apply this truth in our own lives. Bless now in the preaching of thy word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. In verse 12, this answers the question, how can a believer be right or righteous in all our relationships? God would have every born-again believer to be right or righteous in all our relationships in life. Now, you've heard me say it takes two to make any relationship what it ought to be. One person cannot sustain a right relationship. It takes two. But it only takes one to be right with God in that relationship. Only takes one. And we need to make sure that we are the one that is right with God in any relationship that fails. Because it takes two, there will be failed relationships. Because it takes two, there'll be failed relationships between husbands and wives. Because it takes two, there'll be failed relationships between children and parents, sisters and brothers. Because it takes two, for any relationship to be what it ought to be, there's going to be failed relationships. I just want to make sure, and I trust that you would want to make sure, as we look to God, that we are not the one that causes the failed relationships, but that we are right with God in all of our relationships of life. I believe that's the mindset that we have here. It brings national or world together. It brings everyone to the same level. Because all things, whatsoever you would that men should do to you. Doesn't say men or women or what color of skin a man has or what nationality a person has. It brings equality to all. That's God's will. That's God's word. Whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, however you want to be treated by anybody and everybody, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Whatsoever, if you will, paraphrase, you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. You would understand this possibly by the world's thinking as the golden rule, the principle of treating others as you want others to treat you. It's a great way to live. Even if you're not saved, if you're just a moral individual, if you want to have peace in the world, if you want to have civilization as unified and being able to live together, it's a good way to live. I don't live that way because it's what the world calls the golden rule. I don't want to live that way just because it's a principle that would help society. I mean, that's all right if you to do that, but there's a greater reason to live that way. Because it's more than just a golden rule, it's the teachings of Christ, who is God manifested in the flesh. That's why we ought to understand this and learn to apply it in every relationship of our lives. The first thing that we understand here, as well as the rest of the Sermon on the Mount, it's a command and not a suggestion. If you're going to be right with God, then this is a way that you need to live. This is the mentality that Christ is Christ-like. We ought to have the mind of Christ. And if we have the mind of Christ, then it would be Christ-like in how we live our lives. I love what Paul would write in 2 Corinthians, and you can write it down, you can turn there if you'd like. But in 2 Corinthians in chapter 10, I use this verse a lot in counseling because it's so important that we do this. In verse 5 it says, in 2 Corinthians in chapter 10 and verse 5, casting down imaginations. We can imagine a lot of ways to treat people, and not all good. Somebody does something that you don't like, that imagination can run wild. And how I want to respond. Yeah. But we're supposed to cast down imaginations. And every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. The knowledge is the ways of God. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. When you take that and you apply that to what Jesus taught on the Sermon on the Mount concerning how we are to treat others, it's a powerful, powerful truth. You see, before we react to others, we must think. And our thinking needs to be obedience to Christ, not to fulfill the lust and the desires of the flesh. Yeah. Not to allow the human nature to take control, as when we lose our tempers, that's exactly what happens. We respond by feelings. Most of the time, that's what happens. But before we react, we must think, bring our thoughts into subjection to the thinking of Christ, which is whatsoever, all things, whatsoever you would, that men should do to you, do you even so to them. Too often we allow others to dictate how we act toward them. One of the principles of biblical communication is that you act and you do not react. Because if you're going to have a successful marriage, you're going to have to learn not to react to everything that the spouse does to you. But you learn to act according to God's will for you in the position that you have as a husband, a loving husband who loves your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself to it. And you act as a loving wife who realizes I am to look to my husband as the head of my home and to submit to him as he submits to God. We don't always want to think about that before we respond. Romans in chapter 12, look there with me. Romans in chapter 12, it's this principle relayed to us in other verses throughout the Bible, but powerful verses here in Romans in chapter 12. In verse 17, it says, recompense to no man evil for evil, but provide things honest in the sight of all men. Not going to respond to someone else that has done me wrong or treating me badly in like kind. That's the world's mentality a lot of times. If you'll scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. But if you're not going to scratch mine, don't think about it. Some couples use that very same philosophy. That is not to be. If it's God's will for you to scratch your husband's back, scratch it. If God's will for you to scratch your wife's back, scratch it. Don't wait for them to scratch yours first. You might find if you go ahead and do it, then you're going to get a massage. All instigated by treating others as you would have others to treat you. Yeah. Verse 21 says, be not overcome of evil. That's easy to do, though. When somebody does you wrong, the human nature wants to get revenge or get even. Make them pay. But the Bible says, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. We cannot allow others to dictate how we act toward them. And we should not stop treating others according to God's commands just because it's not reciprocated. But at the same time, not every relationship's going to make it, because it takes two. Don't wait staying involved in that relationship to where you start allowing that other person to control your actions, because then it's destruction for both of you. I want to make sure if that relationship fails that I'm right with God in the midst of that relationship. That means that at some point you might have to leave a relationship. Yeah. We studied the principle of casting pearls before the swine, who will just abuse it. God would not have any believer to stay in an abusive situation. Do not think that you're doing the will of God by allowing yourself to be abused. That is not God's will for God's children. And sometimes when we find ourselves in that relationship, the Bible says there in Romans in chapter 12, verse 18, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. And if it be possible, as much as lieth within you, stay in that relationship and be the Christian that God wants you to be in that relationship, not expecting it to be reciprocated, not expecting that person to love you as you are going to love them. I am going to love them because God wants me to love them. As a husband, I am going to love my wife as Christ loved the church, no matter how she treats me, no matter what she does to me. And I know my wife will love me as her husband because that's God's will for her. No matter how I would treat her and how what I would do to her. But if it would ever get to be in an abusive situation, then instead of letting that overcome you, you have to get out of that. And you get out of that, never giving up on it, but you give out of it so that you maintain the testimony that God wants you to have. To where when that person, when God does a work on that person and knocks him down and gets him to come back to you, that you're ready to receive that person back into your life and restore a marriage and restore a relationship that God wanted you to have from the beginning, but you couldn't have from the beginning because it takes two. If you allow yourself to be abused, can I tell you that the relationship will only go downhill? And sometimes doing so much damage that it would be an impossibility to restore that relationship because of the damage done. Wow. The command is to be right with God in all relationships. It's not necessarily easy to do, but it is easy to understand. The golden rule is easy to understand. Maybe not easy to do, but I don't do it because it's a good way to live life. I follow the teachings of Christ because it's God's command for my life. As long as I'm right with God in the relationships in my life, then I can have God's blessings. No matter what the outcome of that other relationship, I can have God's blessings on my life. You look back here, if you will, go back with me to our text. He gives us the support for this command. I trust you understand the command. It's more than just a golden rule. It's the teachings of Christ. But then he gives us the support of that rule. The support of that command is found when he says, for this is the law, Old Testament, the law. Remember, Jesus did not do away with the law. Jesus fulfilled the principles and the truths that God wanted humanity to accept through the law. It brought us to the place of salvation in Christ. It really does. And so he says, for this is the law and the prophets. Now, of course, they would not have had the New Testament scriptures as we have them today, but they would have the New Testament is found within the Old Testament. And that's what Jesus fulfilled. He fulfilled the Old Testament law and prophets and presented to us God's plan all along in marriage, one man, one woman. God's plan all along for people and how people are to live. Law and prophets. Matter of fact, look what, go on Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22, Jesus presents this again and helps us to understand it in a better way, but the law and the prophets is very important that we understand that. But in chapter 22 and verse 37, he says this, Because they started asking about the great commandment of the law, which is, and Jesus said unto them, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, with all thy mind. And this is the first and great commandment. This is the most important thing that we can do, is to love God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. That's the Trinity of God. And then he says this, and the second, to every principle, to every law, to everything in life, he gives two main points, two main things that we must focus on. First of all, love God with your entire being. Love God. And when you love God, the second one will be easier for you to accomplish. And the second is likened to it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Which is exactly what verse 12 of the Sermon on the Mount was pointing to. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Over in the book of James in chapter 2, again, we have the New Testament to look to, and it is throughout the New Testament, this understanding of this. And James in chapter 2 and verse 8, it says this, if ye fulfill the royal law, which we're looking at here, and some look to that and somehow, again, get that golden rule. But if ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Ye do well. But if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. Helping us put things in perspective there. Because that has brought us to the place and the teachings of Christ as that we do treat people the way that I would want them to treat me. But I treat people as Christ would have me to treat people in every relationship of life. Ecclesiastes, the Bible says this. Let me just read this to you because it goes right along with what Christ is teaching here. In the book of Ecclesiastes, in the very last of the chapter, in chapter 12 and verse 13, it says this. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter of life. And the Ecclesiastes is Solomon revealing everything about life. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. That means love and honor and reverence him. Keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment. Every work, how we respond to others, how we treat others, with every secret thing. God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. And as born again believers, we will give an account for that at the judgment seat of Christ. After the rapture of the church. Yeah. Without going into it, can I tell you, as we love God and we want to love our neighbors from a love for God, there's three things that you'll find that God gives to us in every quality relationship. First of all, our relationship of trust. We know that because God would have us to trust him. Respect. That's reverence, the positions. Reverence. A person was created in the image and likeness of God that has a soul that Jesus died for. Sometimes we have to look hard, but understand, no matter what's going on, they have a soul that Jesus Christ died for. Need to respect every human life. all human life, and then loyalty. If you have a good marriage, you have trust and respect and loyalty. If you have a good relationship, you have trust, you have respect, and you have loyalty. If you do not have one or any of those, you do not have a quality relationship. Yeah. So as we go back to Matthew, as with all the teachings of Christ, we must do three things. And this is all. This is it. With all the teachings of Christ that we have been studying up to this point and everything, especially the Beatitudes, we come to the Sermon on the Mount and we understand that God's way for us to communicate with Him in prayer, and now this golden rule. We need to know what Christ taught. It's been recorded. It's here for our learning and understand. It's here for us to read it. It's here to be preached as we are doing tonight. But this is what Jesus Christ brought to humanity. Therefore, all things. All things. Whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Know what Christ taught. The second thing is we need to believe what Christ taught. If I believe it, that means that it's doable. If I know it's what Jesus Christ presented, and it is, it's in the Bible, and I believe it as being the very words of God, and it's His will for my life, if it's His will for my life, I know that as I look to Him, I can have that kind of relationship. I can be right in all my relationships of life. As I look to Him, He will enable me to do what He wants me to do, to think as He wants me to think. I just got to know it's coming from Him. I've got to know that. I got to believe that it's what He taught. And then lastly, I've got to commit to living by what I know and believe that Christ presented to me. When I commit to something, it's because of a desire to please Him. John chapter 13, and John chapter 13, I'm going to read just a few verses and then we're done here, but John chapter 13 and verse 33, Jesus said, little children, this is what Christ taught. I need to believe what Christ taught, and I've got to commit to it, to living by it. Children, yet a little while, and I am with you. Ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whether I go, ye cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. And this is the new commandment, because now, for the first time, they have the life of the Messiah to look to. As I have loved you, that ye also love one another. Can I tell you that that's a better definition of the golden rule? The laws can't understand that, because they don't know and they do not base their lives upon Christ. But as born again Christians, we base how we live by the teachings of Christ. And this right here is better than the law and the prophets, because now we have the life of Christ to look to. And He says, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one to another. Chapter 14 and verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. Chapter 15 and verse 12. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Do we have that mindset? If not, we need to develop that mindset. Are you right in all your relationships of life? And not really are you right with that individual. Are you right with God in your marriage, in your parenting, in your friends, with your church brethren, with your coworkers, with that lost man who lives next door? Are you right with God in your relationships of life? If I could have every head bowed tonight. Teachings of Christ, great principle of treating others as you would have others to treat you, highlighted by loving one another as Christians, as Christ hath loved us. Father, we bow before you. We love you, Lord. Thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you for your teachings and, Lord, allowing us to be able to study them and preach them and understand this is how we need to live our lives, so that we can live in peace, have a peace of mind in every relationship. I pray that there's decisions that need to be made that would heal and help people to dwell together as you would have them to. I pray, God, that they would be willing and ready to make whatever decisions that you would lead them to make this evening. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.